Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Happy Palm Sunday to you. Welcome to worship. I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the clergy that serves at this congregation here at First United Methodist at our Brighton campus as well as at our Whitmore Lake campus. And on this Palm Sunday, we are gathering for a great parade, a great celebration. Hopefully, you have received your palm branch to wave it in just a moment as we'll celebrate together and be led in a parade by the children. If there's any other children among us that want to make their way or youth want to make their way to the top of the parade, they're just gathered in the community room right now. Go ahead on out and get ready for that great parade. Well, on this Sunday, this Lenten Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we are so glad to have you, and we're looking forward to the events of Holy Week to come. We do hope that you'll join us for Maundy Thursday worship and Good Friday worship, and of course Easter Sunday as we look forward to the resurrection next Sunday. I hope that you'll take a moment at some point in the worship service to fill out the connection card. Let us know that you are here, and you can note which ways you'd like to get connected, or if you have information or would like to be contacted by the staff or the clergy. Also, I want to make sure and lift up our prayer cards are in the pew. So as well as you're filling out your connection card, you're welcome to fill out those yellow prayer cards right there in your rows. We're a congregation that likes to pray for one another, so please feel free to do that. As the children will lead us in a time of parade and praise, then they'll go on downstairs to Sunday school like normal, where they can be picked up after Sunday school. Let's now join together. Let's praise God together. Let's stand and wave our palm branches proudly. All honor, laud, and glory.
Thank you. join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your ministry and remember your life among us with palms raised high. Be with us today in worship and give us strength to pledge ourselves to you. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Is Mark 11, 1 through 10. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They told them that what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' The word of God for the people of God."
Thank you, Randy, for reading our gospel lesson for us this morning. Thank you, church, for raising those palm branches high, these pokey palms. Careful, you might poke an eye out, a neighbor's eye out, and we celebrate and we praise today. It is good to celebrate. It is good to hear the choir and the bells. Thank you for your music ministry. It is a delight to be with you. Church, will you please join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Almighty God, loving Father, creator of heaven and earth, giver of all good gifts, we praise you this morning with songs and shouts of Hosanna. We praise you this morning with waving palm branches and flowery greenery. We praise you this morning with hearts filled for love for you and one another. And gathered in praise, our spirits are lifted and we are encouraged to faithfully walk in your footsteps. Yet, Lord, when we leave the doors of the church building, it becomes more difficult to follow faithfully. And so therefore, Lord, as we gather for worship this morning, make us mindful of how you call us to serve the least among us, to love those who are lost, to embrace those experiencing sorrow and hardship, and to embody the compassionate love of Christ for the world. As we gather for worship this morning, Lord, may you speak to us in this story of Scripture. May your living word capture our hearts and lives and penetrate our souls and enliven our spirits so that we may leave worship this morning and continue faithfully as your disciples. Lord, as we begin this Holy Week journey, may your presence intimately be known to each and every one of us. Lead us from Palm Sunday's parade and then gather with us in the breaking of the bread on Maundy Thursday. Rest with us at the cross, and we look forward to encountering the empty tomb. Now, Lord, great Prince of Peace, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Everyone loves a great parade, right? A great parade, it's fun. Perhaps you've attended a parade. Maybe you've been fortunate enough to be in one. Maybe you've tossed out candy to children along the lined streets that have delighted grins on their faces. Or maybe you've dressed up in costume, a clown face or another character. Maybe you've actually held the strings of a balloon up in the sky while the crowds and the characters saw in great delight. Or maybe you've been one of the Shriners to ride loop-de-loops in down the parade route with the tassels swinging and hearts filled with joy. Or maybe you can think back to your high school days or your college days if you were in the marching band. Did you ever go down the street in a parade playing the trumpet or twirling a baton leading the parade or waving a flag in formation if you were one of the flag girls? But everybody loves a great parade, right? We saw it this morning with our little children. You can probably think about lots of parades we have throughout the year. Of course, there's the famous Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, or the Detroit Parade on Thanksgiving. Of course, there's 4th of July parades in Brighton and Whitmore Lake, and there's even the parades that became very popular during COVID, kind of the car parades to drive by somebody's house to wish them a happy birthday or to celebrate a graduation. Great parades are lots of fun. Well, it's hard to pinpoint what makes a parade so great. Maybe it's the candy. The kids would probably say it's the candy. Or the costumes, or the balloons. Or maybe it's just something about holding that cup of cocoa as you're out on a cold Thanksgiving Day parade day in Detroit. Or a glassy cup of lemonade on those hot summer parades. But there's a great joy of the crowd gathered for a delightful parade. In Scripture this morning, we also discover, we've heard, as Randy read the gospel for us, we also heard a unique parade taking place. We kind of reenacted it for a moment here at the beginning of worship. It might not seem like the familiar parade that you've attended if you've been to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but it was a parade that took place. Instructing two of his disciples to go into the city and to select a colt and then bring it back to the Mount of Olives, there this animal would return and coats would be placed upon it and palm branches would begin to be waved and shouts of praise would be offered up in one great chorus, just like one great voice, like our choir sang this morning. Well, as Jesus descended from the Mount of Olives and he made his way into Jerusalem, there he was, this image of him riding on a donkey, and the crowd cheered. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.
and they wave their palm branches in this parade to come. Hosanna is what they sang. Everybody loves this great parade. Well, this odd little parade can be understood if we remember that Hosanna, what that means. Hosanna is this word that we say on Palm Sunday every year. And it's this word, it's translated from Hebrew. And from Hebrew into English, what this word means is save us. Save us, please, actually, save us. So that crowd was gathered around as Jesus is on this donkey descending from the Mount of Olives, and they're watching and they're witnessing Jesus come in, and they're shouting, save us, Jesus, save us, save us. In the coming days, we know that Jesus would save us as we encounter the cross on Good Friday. But the people there were praising God. They're shouting, save us from the oppression. Save us from our daily lives. Save us from the government. Save us from the oppression that we're experiencing. Save us, they called out to Jesus. Well, their palm branches are waving and their hosannas are praising as they're hoping that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah and King. Someone that would rule not like the power and the authority they were experiencing from the Romans, but somebody who would be a different type of leader. Someone who would be their prince of peace, who would bring forth a different kind of kingdom, who would bring forth the kingdom of God. So in great chorus and great celebration, they're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, they shouted as Jesus rode into the entry into the Jerusalem that day. Save us, great Prince of Peace. Save us, great King of Kings. Save us, Messiah and Lord. Save us. So we're starting this Holy Week journey, and we remember that the why people were gathering into the city was they were getting ready to celebrate the Passover. Do you remember our Old Testament stories of what the Passover is about? Do you have Jewish friends? Do you remember that story? The Passover is that celebration when Jews remembered their freedom from slavery in Egypt. They remembered, and they would gather, they would come into the city, and they would celebrate the Passover. So the crowd was following. And as the crowd was coming into the city of Jerusalem to get ready that week to celebrate the Passover, the city of Jerusalem would have many, many visitors, thousands of visitors, 100,000, 200,000 visitors coming into the city to celebrate and remember the Passover. Well, that time in the city, as the crowds were gathering, I could imagine that the atmosphere was quite tense. Their political climate became tense. Jerusalem was an occupied city, and the Roman government was in charge, and as people are coming into the city, they wanted to remind those who were visiting and those who lived there that they were in charge. There wouldn't just be this parade of praise of hosannas to God, to Christ the King, but there was also going to be some other entry into the holy city that day with an intention of making sure that the people knew who was in charge, that they would be keeping themselves in control. So those other parades that came in that day, those kind of royal-type processions, we can remember that Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor of Judea, he entered Jerusalem, but he rode on horse. Not a lowly donkey, but he rode on horseback. He had thousands of soldiers nearby. He had a sword at his hand. And during Holy Week, a time when people are celebrating liberation and remembering their biblical story, he was going to make a presence known that he was in charge. No celebration of freedom. He was in charge. Also that day, there was a royal procession into Jerusalem of King Herod. He had soldiers as well that would have been with him making this grand entrance into the city as people were starting to gather. Well, both Pilate and King Herod, they made their entries. They wanted to remind people who was in charge, the Roman Empire. They had authority. We shouldn't forget it. As the people came then to celebrate Passover and to remember their freedom from escaping from Egypt, there was this tone that was about them that was heavy and tense. No rebellion would take place. No echoes of any uprising would take place. No jockeying for power. Theirs was the kingdom. Theirs was the power that they wanted to remind people. Adam Hamilton writes in his book called The Way, he wrote this. He says, two of the three rulers entering Jerusalem in the parades on the Palm Sunday were iron-fisted men known for their cruelty. They were perfectly willing to kill in order to hold power, and they used impressive shows of force to demonstrate that fact. But Jesus, on the other hand, he had no soldiers. He had a ragtag band of followers who waved these palm branches as he passed on a donkey. And he goes on to say, Wiseman Salsa, who is a modern-day Palestinian artist and historian and guide, describes Jesus' parade as history's first nonviolent demonstration. Jesus and the crowd gathered had a very different type of parade taking place. Hamilton keeps writing, this demonstration was for the king, for a king and a kingdom built upon a radical desire for God, to love God, and for a commitment to love one's enemies, end quote. Different types and styles of parades taking place. One that illustrated God's kingdom and power with Jesus coming in as the Prince of Peace, and some other entries into the city that day. A different illustration and demonstration of kingdom and power and authority. As throughout the season of Lent, we have been studying the Lord's Prayer, and it's we've been coming now to this last line of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory is this last phrase that we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And when we're thinking about kingdom and power and glory, these three individuals have very different expressions of that. Jesus was a king like no others, right? He taught of a different kingdom of this world. He taught us a different way of living. As we come to this last line of the Lord's Prayer, as we pray, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, it's fascinating that we're praying this prayer on Palm Sunday, just as we're entering into Holy Week. We're coming to worship today to pray, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, reminding us that Jesus is the ultimate power and authority of our lives, reminding us to pray for God's kingdom to come here on earth. We pray this last line of the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, reminding ourselves that we are to be kingdom people, kingdom people, people that seek to be a part of building God's kingdom here on earth, people that seek to make the Lord's Prayer evident in our daily lives. As we think about the Lord's Prayer this last Sunday, I would invite us to pray together. The Lord's Prayer is up on the screens. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we're entering into this Holy Week season, this Holy Week time, may that prayer of the Lord, the last prayer of the Lord's Prayer, be close on our minds. May we meditate on what it means to be kingdom people, to seek to live and be a part of God's kingdom, first seeking to be Jesus' followers, for he is truly our king and who we give our ultimate allegiance and loyalty to. Also this week, as we're praying this last line of the Lord's Prayer, as we're thinking about power, may we think about how the power we have in our own lives, the choices we have in our own lives, how may we use our power to glorify God. And that last line, for glory, the glory forever, May we seek to be kingdom people that ultimately are constantly turning people to know God, turning to people to glorify God. May we seek in all of our lives and all that we do to give glory and praise to God. Church, I hope that this week, as we are going through Holy Week, I hope that you will take time to continue to pray the Lord's Prayer and meditate on this in your life. I pray that you'll find a moment to visit the prayer stations in the chapel if you haven't already done so this week. I pray that you might take moments this week to read Matthew's Gospel, reading chapters 26, 27, and 28 as we hear the story of Holy Week unfold. Or open up the other Gospels of Mark and Luke and John and read their events of the Holy Week experience. May our week be bathed in Scripture. I also pray, church, that you'll join us from a Palm Sunday parade and a great celebration. I pray that you'll come and join us to break bread with Jesus and his disciples in the upper room, to experience the foot washing, and to know from it's easy to wave those palm branches of praise, but then quickly those branches get set aside, and we are going to encounter an experience of denial. We're going to encounter an experience of betrayal. And then church, journey with us to the cross as we know that we can only wave these palm branches in praise because of ultimately what Jesus has done for us on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And Easter morning, we celebrate that the great Prince of Peace has raised again and has come back to life and is with us forevermore, and we celebrate this Holy Week experience, this Holy Week time. May we come to pray and work for God's kingdom, God's power, and God's glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Sue Urban. As we enter into this time of prayer, first of all, I'd like to direct your attention to the prayer quilts that are hanging in the sanctuary. If you choose, you can raise a hand in recognition this morning of the Holy Spirit working among us as we pray over these quilts. Heavenly Father, we pray for the wholeness of the bodies of Sky, Matthew Lear, and Reverend Rachel Dunlap. As they wrap themselves in these quilts, let them feel the outreach of love and caring that is coming to them from this whole community. In the days and weeks to come, be with them. We pray for pain to be eased, and for wisdom for their doctors. We know, Father, what it's like to be lost, sick, tired, and anxious. Please help us to be a comfort and strength for all of our friends. We also know what it's like to be the friends and family caring for loved ones. Give all those strength and patience also. Let them feel your presence. Give them the right words to say and the right way to help. And God, we thank you so much for the presence of yourself in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but I couldn't possibly be more excited at any worship time of the year than I am at this one. I think it's just a combination of everything. I see faces newly returned from warmer climates. We see spring in the air and in our yards. In a week or so, we can go back to eating chocolate and enjoy social media once again. The Tigers won. There's a crazy event going on in Augusta this weekend. You know, it's the changing of the guard, sort of. But most importantly, it's the big change in our church liturgy, one that we all look forward to and wouldn't have missed for the world. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, today's a special day for us here at First Church. There's music in the air, children running around waving palm branches, people returning. We're entering Holy Week, marking the end of Lent. But the main thing we become starkly reminded of here today is the gift you have given us in Jesus the Christ. This is what Holy Week is about. We often give thanks for our beautiful world, the comforts we enjoy in our community here in Brighton, our worshipful gatherings, our celebrations like Easter egg hunts, and the return of a coffee hour. But the one thing that's the most important is the gift of your Son you sent for our redemption. We pray, Father, that while we're looking toward next week for Easter, we can also look out at the world at large and pray for comfort and for peace for all those who are suffering. We pray for the war-torn communities in Ukraine, for families everywhere who've lost contact with loved ones. We hope that service members, volunteers, medical personnel, the international community are able to mitigate the suffering and find a lasting peace. We also pray for all those everywhere who have no safety net for food security, jobs, shelter, or medical treatment. We pray for those needing transportation to get to locations where they need to go. We pray for everyone everywhere struggling with the effects of climate catastrophes, often finding themselves in a homeless situation. We lift up to all those who work daily and try to help people with their trials and their hardships. Sometimes, God, there seems to be so much to worry about that we don't know where to begin. And so that's when we turn to you. Please give us the courage and the inspiration to begin somewhere, the energy to do something. We thank you for the leadership in this church community, for their pointing us the way. And thanks, Father, for the one for whom the palm branches are waving, who has surely shown us the way, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Throughout Lent, as we've been praying the Lord's Prayer, we've had an opportunity to pray it in multiple languages. We've heard the prayer prayed in Spanish and in Czech and in German. And this morning I'd invite forward Ivy Vitale, who's going to be praying the Lord's Prayer with us in American Sign Language. Ivy, please lead us in prayer. There are many ways to pray and many languages to pray. It's all about praising God and giving glory to God. And so I would invite us to continue a spirit of praise and glory to God. Let's hear from the echoes of praise. Thank you. During Holy Week this week, may this echo of praise song be the prayer on our heart as it was called walking with Jesus. May we seek to walk with Jesus this Holy Week. May we seek to walk with Jesus not this Holy Week, but our whole life long, serving God, making an impact in this world, sharing the love of Christ, and we can do that in so many ways. From sharing of our time and our talents to sharing of our treasure, to be a part of the ministry and mission here in this church and around the world. And so I would invite you to be a part of the ministry of Christ through your financial giving. The ushers, please come forward to wait upon us that we might share our gifts to God's glory.
Jesus, as we look towards Holy Week and remember the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us, accept the humbling offerings we bring. We bring them as our sacrifice of praise to build your kingdom on earth. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. I would invite you to be seated for just one quick mission update. I'm going to invite forward Vern Hoschel. He's been sharing some updates with our partner church in Ukraine. He has an update to share, and then I have three quick announcements after that.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Our partnership church is in Protovin, Czech Republic, and for some of you in the congregation, you know all about it, and others maybe not. But we're in constant communication because that congregation is taking care of Ukrainian refugees, mothers and children. We've had a partnership relationship with that church for over 16 years. We've sent volunteers and mission teams there to work with that church in building a community center. We've been in their congregation. We've worshiped with them, and they're a very praying congregation. And they're asking for our prayers, and specifically some. We have donated over $10,000 to help them support in the care of the Ukrainian refugees, at least according to the last tally that John Reynolds gave me, Pastor John. But I received an email again, and Malushka, who serves like a lay leader there, keeps in constant contact with us. And she wrote, "Dear sisters and brothers in Brighton United Methodist Church, I'm going to share the moments from your last Sunday worship service and our Sunday services." And she does that by putting up the videos. So that congregation is seeing our worship service. They will see us today, later, at their church. And that's technology for you. It was very nice when Agnes read the Lord's Prayer in Czech. We truly appreciate your collection and the money you've already set. Your efforts are incredible. For now, we ask you for prayers for Tamara. She has come with her 5-year-old daughter. She called to her husband in Ukraine and realized their house was bombed in the last few days. Also, her mother had to escape her house just as she was, so she has nothing. Everything is in her bombed house. Tamara is suffering deep depressions. I can relate to that. We have a Tamara daughter. And imagine, as I read this, if her house had been bombed and she had nothing left. We also ask for prayers to find jobs for all the ladies. These are the women with children. It is difficult. There's no work near the church camp where they're at, and we want them to be useful. It is important for the future as well. Thank you all, and God bless you all. God is always good, and nothing can separate us from his love. To God be the glory. Thank you for your connection. Malushka and the Protovan United Methodist Church. Please pray, continue your prayers for their efforts to take care of the Ukrainian mothers and children.
Thank you, Vern, for the update. We can continue to keep the people of Ukraine in our hearts and in our prayers. As kingdom people, we're called to serve, we're called to love, and so thank you for your tremendous outpouring of financial generosity to support those that are in our mission partnership. Three updates and things I want to make sure and share as we look forward to Holy Week. Maybe we have these slides available. Please join us for Maundy Thursday worship. Maundy Thursday worship will be here at our Brighton campus at 7 o'clock. We're looking forward to the storytelling of the soliloquy of the 12. So please join us in person here at Brighton as well as it'll be online. And then come join us as we experience the cross. As we experience Jesus' suffering and persecution on the cross, that will make way then for Easter morning. Join us for Good Friday worship here at 7 o'clock. It's going to be online as in person at noon. If noon is more works better with your schedule, we'll have a noon Good Friday service at Whitmore Lake. And then experience the glory of Easter Sunday. Perhaps you're an early bird sunrise person. At 7:15, we'll be out in the garden celebrating the resurrection with refreshments to follow. Or join us at 9:30 and 11 online or in person to celebrate Easter. I pray that you'll open up your scriptures this week and read through the Holy Week story. I pray that you'll invite some people to worship with you. I pray that you'll find moments of quiet prayer and reflection and pray the Lord's Prayer this week that it might speak to you anew. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go in peace, God, in God's love. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.